If you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Job tonight, or if you're a new Christian, to the book of Job. Amen. Everybody that's newly saved gets their Bible and goes down, looks through the books and say, wow, that's odd. There's a book named Job, until you hear someone preach out of it. So Job chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1. Let's stand to our feet, please, may we? Job chapter 2 and verse number 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown and unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. I thank you for this book, Lord. I thank you for this man, Lord, who lived in long, long days ago. And yet, Lord, his story is eternally recorded under the pages of your word, Lord, for us to learn from. And Lord, I thank you for putting his story in print. I need this book. Lord, there's so much that I can glean from it. So many times that this book, the story of this man, and Lord, his integrity has given me strength, Lord, and challenged me and convicted me. And I pray, Lord, that all of those things will be done tonight, especially, Lord, that you would use this story to help us and to bless us, make us stronger and better for you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a great God, a wonderful God. And I pray that as we place this man's life under the microscope for a few minutes tonight, that, Lord, you'd help us to see some things that maybe we're lacking, see some things that we need to add, Lord. Help us to build our integrity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm not going to tell in detail the whole story of Job. Most of you here are very familiar with what God asked Job to go through, what God allowed Job to go through. My Sunday school class, I've been on my second week and teaching a series of lessons entitled The Most Amazing Man in the Old Testament. We've been teaching on Job. And when Dad asked me to preach, I knew that this was the next lesson in line after this morning's lesson. And I was thrilled about that because I felt such a pushing of the Holy Spirit in the matter that the significance of the Bible principles that we were building up to in the first 2 weeks that would have been presented next Sunday morning, that it would give me a chance maybe to present them to the entire church, and I feel like the Lord would have me to do that, and so I'm going to do that. I do ask that you'd pray for me because that means I don't have a Sunday school lesson for next week, and I might have to study, so you may pray for me about that, all right? I think there's a key thing about Job here. First of all, let's just kind of mentally review. Now, it's very familiar to me because I've been reading and studying and preparing out of it. But let's all get familiar again real quickly with the story. This was an amazing man. I told our Sunday school class, I believe he was amazing for a lot of reasons. But I'm challenged by his level of holy living. I'm challenged by his level of integrity. He's a man that feared God, and the Bible said he eschewed evil, which means he hated or he fought against evil. He sought to put it down and to turn it off and to do away with it. He wasn't a silent bystander to let evil go on and never say a word about it. He stood up against it because he feared God. And I see the level of this man's holy life. And could I remind you of some things, folks? If we've got our history figured out here on the chronological timeline of the Bible, Job was this kind of a man before one word of the Old Testament law was ever given, ever written down. He was this type of a man before the entire Bible was in print. He didn't have God's written word. He was this kind of man before the New Testament church was established, where he could go and hear the Bible preached and taught. He was this kind of a man before the time where God allowed the Holy Spirit to indwell an individual. This is Old Testament times. Now, folks, if we have the Old Testament law, we have the entire Bible, and we have local church to come to and hear the preaching, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, how in the world can we be less for God than this man who had none of those things? Amen. He's an amazing man. And he's amazing too because I think of what he was willing to, or what he was able to withstand and still keep intact his integrity. And I'm saying that word a lot on purpose because we're going to preach a message entitled The Integrity of Job. The Integrity of Job. Now let me just review real quickly for you. Let me break it down without reading all the scripture. In three areas, God took his hands off and allowed Satan access to Job. In three areas, he was tested. You say, well, there's two areas. Well, I want to show you that there's, I think, three. First of all, God allowed Satan to destroy Job financially. The Bible talks in the second verse of the first chapter, or the third verse maybe, about his substance and begins to list it there. And you know what? All of his substance, all of his wealth, all of his riches was literally wiped out in a matter of just a few moments. Now we can read that. We know the story. We've heard it so many times it's kind of ho-hum. But I want you to imagine that you get home tonight, and I mean everything that you have, everything that you possess, with no backup system, with no insurance policy, all of a sudden you went from great wealth or all that you had down to nothing, absolutely nothing. And Satan was allowed to destroy him financially. Not only that, Satan, and by the way, that's hard on a man. A man wants to provide for his wife, wants to provide for his children, wants to provide for himself. That's hard. That's a hard thing to face. Number two, Satan was allowed to destroy his family. When I say that, I mean his seven sons and three daughters were all killed tragically. A great wind came out of the desert and smote the house they were in, and the house collapsed, and all of the children in one fell swoop was taken. Now, I've had to be there, and pastor's done it many times. I've had to be there and walk in the house and try to comfort a mother and father who's lost a child. And what a horrible thing. But I'll be honest with you, I've never been in a situation where I had to go try to comfort somebody who lost every one of their children. A lot of times people in that circumstances, I can remember one time in particular where someone had lost one of their children, and when I came into the house, the mother was holding the two children that were still alive, clutching them and holding them and pulling strength and comfort from them. Guess what? They couldn't do that.
That's right.
There wasn't a child left. And that's amazing. Satan touched his family, destroyed the children, and then also, I think, ill affected his wife. Even though he wasn't allowed to take his wife, as pastors taught us before, it's because God said, you can't touch Job, you can't touch him. Well, you know what? The two are one flesh. That's why he didn't have access to Mrs. Job. But at the same time, he affected her emotionally, and she did not maintain her integrity during this. She encouraged her husband to curse God and die, rebuked him for having integrity and his family. I mean, it's hard enough losing children and having them die, but then the one person that's left to turn on you. You know, that would be a hard thing. Men, you know, it's hard to lose everything financially. It'd be hard to have your wife turn her back on you in a time of need. It'd be a hard thing. And then Satan was allowed to destroy his health. And God said, you know what? Fine. If that's your argument and you think it's because of skin for skin, then go ahead. And only don't touch his life. You can't take his life. And by the way, isn't it amazing that Satan will do and take everything that God gives him? It says from the top, from the soles of his feet. Now that's the bottom of your feet, not the top. That's the bottom of your feet. To the crown of its head, he was covered with boils. And you know what? By the grace of God, folks, we really don't have an understanding of the protection of Almighty God. I mean, folks, if God took his hand off of us for a half a millisecond, Satan would take everything he was allowed to take. He'd destroy us. He'd destroy our family. All he wants to do is bring destruction and devastation and murder and wreak havoc in family. I mean, if it weren't for the grace and protection of God, it's hard to tell what we'd be facing, you know. But God said, he said, okay, fine. He took his hand off that area and said, go ahead, Satan, and let him do that. Now, folks, you think about this. Imagine all of a sudden, in just a few days' time, being financially destroyed, devastated. Your children are killed. Your wife has turned her back on you and walked away. And your health now is destroyed to where you'd only have the strength to basically sit down on the ground and scrape your sores. The only way to get relief is to take a piece of pottery or a plate or ceramic paint and scrape your boils and scrape your sores. And this is where you find yourself. Now, This is why I believe this man is so amazing. And I want to draw your attention, and I want to tell you why I believe that he was such an amazing individual. And I want to give you something, because there was something that Satan could not destroy, something that was inside of Job that Satan could not touch, could not take away from him. And that something was called integrity. Integrity. Listen, the Sabians could steal away his oxen and donkeys, but they could not steal his integrity. Fire could fall from heaven and destroy his sheep and servants, but it could not consume his integrity. The Chaldeans could rob him of his camels, but they could not rob him of his integrity. The great desert wind could wreak havoc on his homes and snatch away the lives of his children, but blow as it may, it could not touch Job's integrity. Satan himself could take his vile, filthy, diseased finger and fester Job's body with sores and boils and sickness and disease. But Satan could not destroy Job's integrity. Job's own wife could break her wedding vows, failing to love in sickness as in health and poverty as in wealth, and in doing so break his heart, but she could not bend his integrity. You see, folks, we're the only ones, you and me are the only ones that can give up our integrity. No outside force can take that. We have to surrender that. And integrity can only die at the hand of the one who possesses it. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight, and I think that what God's laid in my heart is this. Listen, we're going to face some tough times in life. We're going to go through some hard things. We're going to have some difficult things. And if you're going to make it through the hard times of life, the evil days, you're going to have to, young people, develop integrity and then hold fast to that integrity. You're going to have to understand what this matter of integrity means. I watch Christians sometimes. I'm not belittling what people go through, but sometimes I watch young people and I see them face the smallest, slightest little testing of life and just fall all to pieces. Can I share something with you? And I love you, but you really need to develop something called integrity. Integrity holds you together when the world is falling apart. Integrity's down here. Nobody can take that. You only can surrender that. And you need to develop integrity and have integrity and hold on to that integrity during the good times and during the bad times. You say, well, Pastor Jerry, what is integrity? Well, first of all, let's look at four verses in Job and let's just establish that this is what held this man together. And I know God did, but it was, and we're going to see in the study of the integrity. Integrity, if you'll let me say this for no better, and I'll try to define it a little more clearly, but integrity is a contract between a man and his God. Yes. It's a system of belief, principles that he will not surrender. Absolutely. No matter what the circumstances of life are, no matter what he's asked to face, there's some things he will not surrender. And that's what integrity is. But let's look at this. If you'll look in Job chapter 2 and verse number, get this right. Job chapter 2 and verse number 3, if you will. And the Lord said unto Satan, if you've got a pen, you ought to mark these four times this word integrity is found in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. I'd underline that little statement there. Still he holdeth fast his integrity. God knew that Job had integrity. God knew he had integrity. Now, if you will, jump down to verse number 9 of the same chapter 2, verse number 9. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? He held fast his integrity. He retained his integrity. She said this, curse God and die. Now, if you will, go to chapter 27, Job chapter 27, and verse number 5. 27 and verse number 5. Amazing verse. What an amazing verse this is. Job chapter 27 and verse number 5. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. You get that? Till I die. Things are going good. I'm going to believe some certain things. I'm going to be principled about some things. If things start going bad, I'm going to maintain and hold fast to those principles. Okay, if my family's here and they're blessed and they're around me and things are well, I'm going to live by certain principles. If they're all taken in a fell swoop and if my wife walks off and leaves me, I'm holding on to my principles. Amen. My principles, you see. Now, verse number 31, chapter 31 and verse number 6. Chapter 31 and verse number 6. And here's the fourth place that this word is found in this book. Job said this, "Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity." Now what do we see from these verses is that, listen, God knew that Job was a man of integrity. People knew that Job was a man of integrity. His wife, who knew him better than any other person in the world, knew he was a man of integrity. Now again, let me give a good solid handle on this so we can know what we're talking about. Boy, this is a word that has just about evaporated out of our Christian vocabulary, and yet I think we better get it front and center stage. I know this is a word that's about evaporated from our country and a conversation in our country. But let me tell you something. When Americans had integrity, America was a great country. And as we have allowed our integrity, if we have failed to hold fast our integrity, if we've given away little pieces of our integrity, so has God. Our nation. You see. And this word integrity comes from the Hebrew word tome. It means this, principled uprightness. Now get that. Boy, that's good. Principled uprightness. You see, Job wasn't upright, perfect and upright, perfect meaning mature, complete and upright by accident. He was mature in his walk with God and in his Christian faith, and he was upright in his lifestyle because he was a man dedicated to principles. There were certain things that he had settled, certain things that he said, you know what, this is truth, I've searched it out, God showed it to me, this isn't, listen folks, we got to be careful, there's a danger here of becoming stubborn about holding on to principles that are not Bible based. And I think sometimes people won't grow in the Lord. Well, I've always believed this, and my family's always believed. There's churches that'll never be blessed. Because you know what? The church is built on faulty principles. A man of God comes in and says, let me show you from the Bible. Well, we've always done something this way. We've always done it a certain way. And we're always, and you know what, folks? There's nothing noble about that. But when you have a principle, life principles that are based solidly on the Word of God, and you've established that and studied that, then you take those things and turn it into a conviction, you turn it into a principle, and you put it in your heart, and you retain it, and you hold fast to it. And you know what? When things are going good, you hold fast to it. When things are going to pot, you hang on to the same thing. You don't give them up. You don't let circumstances dictate what you believe. You let the Word of God dictate what you believe. And you let the Word of God guide you and direct you. And by the way, it says in Proverbs, we won't take the time to turn there, but it says, upright man is guided by his integrity. The upright man is guided by his integrity. Say, Pastor Jerry, how do you know what decisions to make? I know what decisions to make based on principle. Well, what do you do in this circumstance? Well, I'll tell you what. I will look and I will see how my principles dictate that I make a decision in that area. And I'll make a decision based on my Bible principles. Yes. See, folks, what we are is we're up and down. We're in and out. We're flighty. Yes. We're fickle. We base decisions on emotions. We base decisions on how we feel. We base the decisions on whether it's a person we like or a person we don't like. You are not a principled person if you do things that way. You know, wrong's wrong whether or not that person's a close friend of yours or not. Right's right. Wrong's wrong. Good's good and bad's bad. Amen. Righteousness is righteous and evil's evil. And it's about time we got as dedicated to principle as we are to some personalities. Amen. Boy, that's good. Amen. See, there's something inside of Job that says, listen, I live my life a certain way. I go a certain directions. I do certain things, and I don't do certain things. I'm for certain things, and I'm against certain things. And that's all based on principles.
Yes, sir.
Principles. Okay, wet my finger and see who's for it and who's against it and decide whether or not if my little crowd likes it, then I better jump on the bandwagon. I don't live that way. You're not a principled person if you live that way. You know, you got to have some things, folks, inside of you that means something. That you can't be talked out of. That's not for sale. That's just not for sale, you see. Principled uprightness. You see, Job had a simple, godly belief system by which he chose to live his life. Job lived by principles. He held fast to these principles throughout his life. He held on to these principles when they led him to success, and he held on to these principles when devastation and tragedy found him. He didn't change them. His circumstances changed, but his life principles did not change. His fortune diminished, but his principles never wavered. His so-called friends tried to talk him out of them, and his wife told him to forsake them, but they were true, his principles were true and godly, and he committed himself to them no matter what the end result would be. You see, these principles brought him success, and they brought him through failure and back to success again. And that's just the way it worked out. But the honest truth is, he said, though you slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
To Job, it wasn't about the effect, or it wasn't about the end. It was about the principle.
Yes.
And he lived a principle. Now, I don't know about you, but this man, whatever principles he had, worked.
Yes.
I mean, whatever principles this man had, if it can take you through everything we briefly summarized and have him not one time charge God foolishly, not one time sin in his heart against God,
right.
I want to know what his principles of life were.
Yes.
And by the way, if we do a little study, we can find out. You know what? How you can find out a man's principles? By listening to him, but not just listening to him, by watching the way he lives. By watching the way he lives. Now, let me just give you a few principles of Job that made up what we call collectively his integrity. Job believed certain things. Now, let me just go on with these things, okay? All right, Job chapter 1, verse number 1. Let me tell you the first thing that I observe about Job that I believe was a principle of life. This is repeated 3 times, so I think it's well established in Scripture. Job believed this. This was a principle of his life. God is to be feared and evil eschewed. God is to be feared and evil eschewed. And by the way, this is one of the first things that's mentioned about Job. Can I say this? This, when we read chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. You know what? Those two words, completeness and uprightness, if you look up the word integrity, T-O-M-E, the Hebrew word, the first two words that they use to describe integrity is completeness, I'm sorry, perfect or completeness and uprightness. What they're saying here is this. There was a man in the land of Job, in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man had integrity.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because he feared God and eschewed evil. So his first principle of life was this. I fear God. God is to be feared. And evil is to be eschewed. Now, what does that mean? Eschewed means this. If you look up the Hebrew word, it means to turn off, to put down, or to remove. You see, Job was a man that feared God. And folks, he did not just fear God and then tolerate evil. He feared God and put down evil. He feared God and turned off evil. Just like you flip a switch, the lights go on. Hey, someone turned on evil. He went over there and turned it back off. You know what? This man lived for God, and he feared God. I mean, this is a man in his day that took a stand, no doubt, against the Sodomites, if they were Sodomites in that day.
Sure.
You know why? Because he was principled.
Sure.
He was principled. You know, folks, listen to me. Sodomy's wrong no matter what.
Right.
Sodomy's wrong, and we ought to preach against it being wrong, whether we have the liberty to preach against it according or permission of our government or not. Sodomy's wrong and should be preached against whether they won't bother us or whether they'll take our tax exempt status away.
Right.
Sodomy's is wrong and ought to be stood up against,
right.
Turned off,
put down, removed.
Amen.
Somebody ought to stand up and say something about it.
Amen.
You know, and that means if they put a chain on the door, lock the door, we still do it. It means if you go to jail, you still do it. Now, folks, this is, I know young people look at me, but this is called a conviction, something that I think a generation needs to discover.
Yes, it is.
I mean, Job says, I'm standing for some things, and I'm fighting against some things. And you know what? If that hair lifts everybody, then it's just going to have to bother everybody. But there's some things that are wrong. And I believe that, listen, my job is to fear God and to fight evil. Amen. Amen. I don't know if they had abortion back. I don't think they did. But you know what? If Job was around, he'd be saying something about it. He'd be squawking. He'd be saying something about it. You know what? He was against sin. You know, it's easy for us to say these big sins, these sins that we talk about. But you know what? I think Job was against lying. I think when he found out one of his youngins lied, he tanned their hide. He was against it. He removed it. He pulled it down. He didn't tolerate it. I think he was against gossip.
Amen.
I think he was against critics.
Amen.
I think he was against strife. I think he was against evil surmising scenes. I think he was against all of the tomfoolery, the junior high level Christianity that needs to grow up. I think he was against that stuff. And I think he'd say something about it.
Yes.
Amen. He feared God and he stood up against evil. Now listen, folks, why don't you make that a principle of your life? Are you principled? Are some things wrong unless somebody you like does them?
Yeah, there you go.
Are some things wrong if somebody you don't like does, but if somebody you like, then it's not as bad?
Right.
Or sin just sin?
Right.
Is wrong just wrong? And what if it's your family? Amen. What if it's your kids?
Yeah.
What if it's my kids? What if it's your wife? What if it's my wife? All of a sudden some things become palatable because somebody we care about is doing them, and well, all of a sudden they're not as bad. No, they're just as bad. And I think we need to have a principle. God is to be feared and evil is to be fought against. Evil is to be put down, turned off, removed. And let me tell you something. Job's own wife knew this was a man that had integrity. I don't think he put up with tomfoolery in the house.
Amen.
You know, I don't think he put up with rebellious children.
Amen.
I don't think he made excuses for them.
Right.
I don't think he sat down and wrote mean letters to the teachers or the principal. I think he gave them a spanking at home if they got one at school. I do. I think he stood against wrong.
Yes, sir.
You know, and didn't put up with it, didn't pacify it, didn't excuse it away.
Absolutely.
Now, folks, listen to me. We live in a day where you know what? I'm convinced. I said this the other day, but I'm convinced most Christians think that one day God's going to have a great gray throne judgment. The great gray throne judgment. Everything in our lives are gray. You know, nobody wants black and white. Nobody wants right or wrong. You know, sinners one of these days are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. You know, so stand up. Good night. Something's wrong, say something about it. You know, there's an old saying that says this, and you all know it. It's probably overly used, but it says, evil triumphs when good men stand idly or quietly by. And I think that's a lot of times what happens. You know something? If you are observing evil or somebody comes to you and you tolerate it and you don't rebuke it and you don't say something about it and you let it happen, you say, well, I didn't do it myself. I don't think Job wasn't just one of these standbyers. So, well, there's nothing I can do. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't think he's one of those people.
No, sir.
Amen. That's good. Okay. Number one, God is to be feared and evil eschewed. Number two, I think he believed this. Look at Job chapter 1, verse number 21. By the way, all of this devastating news came about the loss of his substance, the death of his children. Verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. I believe number two, he believed this. This is a principle of Job's life. This is what he believed. He believed this. I entered this life with nothing, and I will leave with nothing. No, I think Job really believed that. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think things... You say, well, he had all that stuff. Yeah, but I don't think the stuff had him.
Amen.
See, folks, if you do right, live right, and work hard, and obey the principles of God's word, you're going to receive a certain amount of blessing.
That's right.
What happens is we do the right thing, we get blessed for it, and then all of a sudden we start redirecting our attention and our efforts to the blessings instead of the doing of right.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you can have things, but do they have you? It's not the money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And I think Job, listen, I really believe this. I think he had a simple philosophy. You know what? He's seen his children born. Not a one of them came in on a motorcycle. Not a one of them came in with, a money belt on. He said, when you're born, you don't have nothing. You know what? Folks, you can do all you want to do. I was reading this. I'm always fascinated by some of this weird history that you dig up. A man by the name of Charlemagne, also known as Charles the Great. Charlemagne. Now get this. After he died, listen to what they did. Charlemagne gave instructions that when he died, he should be buried seated in the royal posture of a ruling monarch on the throne. Then he directed that the gospel should be laid on his knees, his sword beside him, his imperial jeweled crown on his head, and the royal mantle on his shoulders, and thus his body remained for 180 years. You get this? You know, we can deck our old corpses up any way we want to and lavish them any way we want to and put jewels on every finger and a crown on our head, but you know what? Your soul leaves and takes nothing. 180 years. Can you imagine this? Imagine being entombed in this situation. 180 years. This man, they prop his body up into a magnificent throne. And they've put a royal mantle on his shoulders, and they've got a jeweled crown on his head and his mighty sword. You know what you'll find about their burial ceremonies is that they always gave them a bunch of stuff to help them that they could take with them in the afterlife to help them get to. You know what? They've gotten away from God. They forgot what Job knew. This is elementary. You're naked when you come. You're naked when you leave. You don't take it, bring anything, and you don't take anything. Well, this is kind of interesting. About 1000 A.D., the tomb was opened by the Emperor Otho. They found the skeleton of Charlemagne dissolved. Now, notice, remember, he had a copy of the Gospels laying on his lap. About 1000 A.D., the tomb was opened by the Emperor Otho, and they found the skeleton of Charlemagne dissolved and dismembered into various hideous... It's all right, I had it on the next piece of paper. I think I grabbed the wrong one. Okay, let me see if I can finish this. The skull was still wearing the crown. The bony finger of the skeleton was pointing to the verse of Scripture, "For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Amen. The various relics were collected and used in the coronation of another emperor to signify the greatness and ascension from Charlemagne. Somebody took everything he had, stole it out of his tomb, put it on somebody else's head, and his finger, do you imagine that copy of the Gospels, Lena? Here's this disfigured skeleton, and they look at the index finger, and it's pointed to this verse, "For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
That's right.
Now, folks, young people, you better get this. You know what? You didn't have anything when you came. You didn't have anything. You're not going to have anything when you left. And anything that God gives you in between is a blessing.
Yes.
You're going to take anything with you. Foolish is the young person that, as the Bible calls it, will be rich. They that will be rich. Foolish is the person that spends his life chasing something that he can't keep in his hands past this life. I mean, we really are. We're silly, aren't we?
Yes.
He had a principle. Listen, you know what? I didn't have anything when I came. I'm not going to have anything when I leave. You know what? Anything that comes in between, that's great. I'll just leave that up to God. But you know what? I'm not going to get that infatuated with all this stuff. Yes. It's all temporary. Let me give you another principle that Job lived by. This is it. Job chapter 1, verse 21. We'll go back there, and we read the first part of this verse. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now watch this. Here's another one. The Lord is sovereign. He has a right to give, and he has a right to take away, and I will bless his name no matter which he chooses.
Amen.
Woo! Americans need to learn this one. You know what? God's good. He's good on the days you get, and he's good on the days you get you get something taken away. God's good. We have a sovereign God. He has the right to give and he has the right to take. And you know what? Our responsibility is to bless his name no matter what he chooses. Amen. Let me give you something else because it kind of falls under this. Go to Job chapter 2 and verse number 10. See, I believe he really believed this. Job had something. You know, see, why didn't he get shook up? Brother Jerry, did you read chapter 1? Did you see what happened? And this man rents his clothes, falls on the ground, and worships God?
Right. That's what he did.
Worships God. Unbelievable. You know what he recognized? It's because he had a principle of life. Are you getting this? He didn't, listen, we need to take God off trial.
Amen.
No, I mean it. Christians need to get God off trial. You've got him on trial every day of your life. If something good happens to you, well, God is good.
Yes.
No, God's good every day.
Amen.
You know what? God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to be faithful to you. Now, of course, you know, as long as you bless me,
yeah.
That's wrong. That's wicked.
Yes, it is.
You're not a principled person. God's not good when he's good to you. God's good when he takes things away from you.
That's it.
God's not good when everything's sunny side up. God's good. Listen, he's not just good on the mountaintop. He's good in the valley. You see, now look at chapter 2, verse number 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And listen to me, folks. Job believed this also. He believed a person who believes that life should only be filled with good days and never evil days is a fool. Did I read that right? Is that what he said? He told his wife, you're speaking like a foolish woman speaketh.
That's right.
You know, next time your kids start griping because things didn't go their way, you know what you ought to say? You ought to say, you know what? You speak as a foolish child speaketh.
Yes.
Husbands, I'm about to get you in hot water. That's all right. We got Valentine's Day to make up for this stuff. I'm serious. Well, we need some men that have integrity.
Yes, we do.
You know what? This man maintained his integrity when his wife wanted him to give it up.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not down on the ladies, but I'm telling you, there's a reason, man, that God puts you in a leadership position.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Now, do you stand for principles? Are you a principled individual? Or are you henpecked? Wife gets fussy and upset about something. You know what? You know she's wrong.
Sure.
But you pacify her. I don't see Job pacifying her. I'm not trying to be unkind here, but there's times, man, when you just need to say, woman, sit down. We need to have a talk.
Yeah.
And I started down this road a long time ago, and there's some things that are right, and there's some things this family's going to stand for, and there's some things this family's going to be loyal to. And you know what? You need to get on board, hon. Some of you look at me like you never seen anything like this before. Yeah. It's called manhood. I'm not being smart. It's called being a man. You know, there's a reason that we wear these. Oh, sorry. Some of you are mixed up a little bit in that still. There's a reason that men are to wear the pants in the family. See, I don't like this stuff. I know. And the women liberals didn't like it in the 70s. And the feminists didn't like it in the 80s. And the, you know, lesbians don't like it in the 90s. And I don't know what they're going to come up with next, but they're just, you know, that's the Bible. Well, some of these young ladies look like they're about to have a cow right now. Amen. Do you have integrity? Man, gentlemen, do we have integrity or don't we? By the way, the honest truth is, most ladies want to follow. They don't want to lead.
Yes, they do.
I mean, we just need to stand for some things. Folks, what are you principled about? Do you have convictions? Do you have convictions? Can you be talked out of everything that you believe? I see this. I've seen it all through my growing up years. I've seen this until I'm sick of seeing it. A married couple has convictions. And they have convictions all the time. Their children are young and elementary and into junior high. And all of a sudden, the kids get to be high school age.
There you go.
And they don't like some of the rules. And they don't like some of the dress standards. And they start squawking and bickering. And next thing you know, boom, there goes that family out the door to a church that allows a little more things. And they get critical about it. And they start telling them, well, you know, we just have, you know, oh, baloney.
That's right.
You know what happened? There's a little teenager that's a tyrant. And you gave in to him.
That's
You didn't have integrity in the first place. You weren't principled. What you said is, let's do this as long as I don't have to fight a war over it. Or as long as I can keep the home happy, as long as mama's happy and the children aren't in the room crying. But if they start that, then you know what? I'm not going to live like this. I'll just do it. Oh. Amen. Folks, you know, I believe something. I believe the Lord is sovereign. He has a right to give and he has a right to take away, and I'll bless his name no matter what he chooses to do. And that means, folks, listen, it's wrong for me to expect good days from God and not to expect him. You know, are you going to be mad at God every time you have a bad day? You're going to be mad at God every time something doesn't go your way? You're going to be mad at God every time he asks you to face a trial or something that seems a little bit harsh to you? Are you going to be up? Listen, get some principles. Get some integrity. You know what? God's good. God's good if I have good health, and God's good if my health goes south. God's good if I have a full bank account in my house and the bills paid up. And God's good if I have nothing. And God's good if my family's with me, and my God is good if my family turns against me. And that's called integrity. It's called integrity. It's principled uprightness. There are certain things we believe. There are certain things I stand for. There's certain direction I'm going. Listen, and it's based on the Word of God. And you know what? It's not for sale. It's not for sale. And if everybody wants to cry and fall on the ground and throw a temper tantrum, excuse me, I'll tiptoe you around you on the same path that I've been going my whole life. Boy, that's good. That is good. Well, we need to get some things in us, you know. A person who believes that life should only be filled with good days and never evil days is foolish. Folks, listen to me. Can I just share something with you? We need to get a God view of what's going on here.
Yes.
You know, we all chose to sin.
Yeah.
There's a reason none of us are going to live to be 150. We all chose to sin.
Absolutely.
We're sinners. You know what the wages of sin is?
Right.
I mean, we've got sin-cursed bodies. Is that God's fault?
That's correct.
Did he force us to sin? Did he make us sin?
No, sir.
I'll be quite honest with you. I'm as amazed at the number of good days versus evil days he allows us to have.
Amen.
I mean, you really are silly if you think that you know what? God owes you a perfect life.
That's right.
Every once in a while, I get scared. I don't want to be around people too close. They start throwing a tantrum. Say, well, you know what? It's just not fair. I just want what I do. Why can't I get what I deserve? I just want to run. I don't want what I deserve.
No.
If I got what I deserved, I'd be burning in hell. You know, anything better than hell tomorrow is grace. God asked me to carry something for a while, then I'm going to carry it for a while. God gives me something, I'm going to be happy. If God takes something away from me, I'm going to say, you know what, God's good. God prospers me, I'm going to say, thank you, God. If God takes away that prosperity, I'm going to say, God's good. He's wise. Boy, he's wonderful. Isn't he good? I'm not going to sin against God with our lips. Boy, we need to get God. I was serious about that. One of the greatest things you could do in your life is take God off trial. Some Christians wake up every day, and you know what? They're either praising God or bitter at God, depending on what kind of day God gives them that day. I'm going to tell you something. God's good. He's given me so many good days. And you know what? If you look at the whole lifespan, good days versus evil days, man, I've done pretty doggone good.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot better than I deserve. I know that. Yeah. At some point along the line, because of the choice of sinfulness and the sin curse, I'm required to face some evil days. Folks, good night. It's not God's fault. I made those choices.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? I think we need to get back to being principled. Number five. Let me give you this and we'll be done. No matter what God allows to come, this is a great principle, and I think this is what carried Job through. No matter what God allows to come to my life, I will trust him and serve him. Go to Job chapter 13, verse number 15. Job 13, 15. Boy, I wish I could be a little fly on the window of your car coming home tonight. Amen. You just remember, while she's squawking and chewing you out and you're going like a little bobble doll, yes, dear, yes, dear. You remember Pastor Jerry said this, get some integrity!
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. It's all right. That's good stuff. Amen. Job 13, verse number 15. All right. This is an amazing statement. We often quote this, but you ought to underline this. This is what Job, the conclusion he came to in the midst of this great, encouraging, pep talk his three friends were giving him. He basically said, he comes down to this. Boy, I wish we could get this. This is a principle of life. Though he slay me, speaking of God, though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. By the way, he was saying the same thing there that he's talking about when he said integrity. Same thing. He said, I'm going to stay on the same path. There's some things I believe, and you know what? Here, get this. This is why the charismatic movement is so dangerous. This health, wealth, and prosperity preaching is so dangerous. They are telling you and feeding Christians a bunch of baloney that as long as you live right and do right, you're going to receive the blessings of God, and God's going to financially bless you, and he's going to make you rich, and if you get sick, it's probably a sin problem, and because you need a demon thrown out of you or something like that. That's a bunch of baloney, folks. We're going to have good days and we're going to have evil days. And you know what? Here's what Job said. He said, you know what? I'm heading a certain direction. And I live my life based on principled uprightness. And you know what? I'm going to keep going down that path. And while in the process of going that path, God kills me, he's going to kill me taking the next step. I mean, are you getting this? I'm going to do right no matter what. I'm not going to base my lifestyle on the blessings or what I perceive the lack of blessings of God.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to live a principled life. I'm going in a certain direction. And if God kills me, I'm not changing that direction.
Amen.
Now, I hope you get that. See, folks, God's going to do some things in life sometimes that you and me are not going to understand. I'm going to give you an illustration. We'll close. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. And this is a little thing compared to what I've seen people go through. But you know what? God taught me this lesson. Now, look up here and listen. God taught me this lesson when I was in Bible college. And I want you to get it. About my third year of Bible college, I really had a tough time financially, begin to struggle. Man, I scraped together money. And I've had so many irons in the fire and probably doing too much and working in the ministries and trying to keep up my classes and my assignments. And I had a spring semester that was just a tough semester. And you know what? When some of our college kids come home and start telling me, I've kind of had a tough semester, I know exactly what they're talking about. If you've never been there, you don't know. But I mean, they've just had a tough semester. Just seemed like they haven't felt good. They've been busy. You've got so many things you're trying to succeed at, so many things you're trying to do. And I remember I got down, and you know what? I couldn't afford to take my final exams. And I was going to lose the semester. Now get this. I was 2 weeks away, didn't have money to pay so I could be qualified. And I'm talking about losing all the credits. Now watch this. I pray to God and work and scrape and get enough money and pay on my bill so that I can take my finals exam. And then I get so sick that I absolutely cannot attend class my last week of school. And I lost every dime, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars that I paid into that semester, lost every credit. Now, folks, I'm not in the honky-tonks. I'm not out partying. I'm not boozing it. I don't get up every day and live for the devil. God's called me to preach. He sent me to Bible college. I was there because he sent me there. I'm working my full head off. I'm burning the candle at both ends. I'm winning souls on weekend and ministering and trying to help people. And I'm preaching the gospel. And you see what I'm saying? I'm walking the right path. And all of a sudden, I am so sick, I cannot finish that semester, lost hundreds of dollars, lost every credit that I could have earned, and then I walk out after that end of that, into the woods, behind the college, and you know what I want an answer to from God? Why? And it's easy to say, well, one semester. Folks, that's lived one day at a time. That's working midnights. That's getting hardly any sleep. That's working on assignments. That's turning in your papers. That's putting hundreds of hours into school and hundreds of hours into work and hundreds of hours into ministry. And all I'm trying to do is just finish so I can serve God. And I went out in the woods and had an old-fashioned fuss session with God. And if you've never been there, I imagine most of you have. And I mean, I had an old-fashioned fuss session with God. I went out in the woods and, man, I cried and slobbered and spit and hollered and accused. And if God would have killed me, he would have had every right to. And I'm not saying everything I did was right, but you know, sometimes you need to have those confrontations. Man, all I could think of was, I'm doing what he asked me to do. I haven't held back. I'm giving everything I know to give. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm studying. I'm keeping up on everything. And I'm sick. Now get this. About a couple hours that night, I'm just out there and I'm riding a roller coaster and I'm on the up and down. And like I said, compared to what some folks have gone through, maybe not a big thing, but to me, at my life at that time, it was a big thing. I just given 4.5 months where I just basically was holding on by a thread and doing everything I can. And every ounce of work that I'd put in was all the money I earned, all the classes I would have passed is just wiped out. And I got to start all over, redoing all that next semester. Physically, I'm drained. Mentally, I'm drained. Spiritually, I'm drained. And I'm out there and I'm fussing with. For about 2 hours, I'm just out there, and we're just, you know, I'm just going at it. I'm praying, and I'm getting on my knees, and I'm praying to God, and I'm just trying to get an answer. And you know what I got? No answer. He never did tell me why. Can I share something with you? He's not answerable to me. But I remember at the end of those 2 hours, you know, thank God. Even through all the frustration. You know, folks, listen to me. If you get on your knees long enough, light breaks through. And I finally got up at some point. And again, I'm not, maybe this is wrong, but I don't know, I'm going to tell you something. A switch was turned inside of me. Something clicked that day, and it stayed clicked. And I finally said, God, I'm just going to tell you what. I'm not getting an answer. I don't know why. You haven't given me, in my mind or my heart, one justifiable reason for taking away everything that I've worked for the last 4.5 months in one swoop. I don't have one answer from you, but I want to tell you something. You called me, and you're stuck with me. And I don't care if I have to do this for 50 semesters in a row. I'm just going to keep going back and enrolling. I'm going to keep doing what you told me to do. I'm going to keep pursuing the call you put upon my life. And if you, I don't care. Take me. You just do whatever you want to do. You're going to have to kill me to get rid of me. Man, I felt better after that. I did. Say, what'd you do? I went back and went to bed. Got up the next morning, rolled my sleeve up, went back to work. Started scraping money together, got back in the next semester and took off again. You know what? I'm 43 years old. You know what? God never has told me why he took that semester away from me. You know what? He didn't have to. He didn't owe me an explanation. But maybe it was to teach me something. Son, anybody can be committed when it's easy. Anybody can be committed and obedient when in their eyes they perceive me as being fair. But what if part of my plan isn't real fair to you? Will you quit? I've knocked on door after door and talking to used to be Christians that have some grudge against God at some point in their life, and since that day they walked away and they won't serve God because he didn't do or he did. Let me tell you something, folks. Why don't you get some integrity?
Absolutely.
I'm going to serve God. There's the path, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to take off down that path. You know what? If prosperity meets me on that path, bless the Lord. If poverty meets me on that path, bless the Lord. I'm just not talking. Me and that little guy right there has lived this. I'm just not talking. The cupboards are full, we're on the path. The cupboards are empty, we're on the path.
If we're in health, we're on the path. If we're sick, then we're on the path. People like us, then we're on the path. If people stab us in the back, then forsake us, we're still on the path. I mean, God, the only way you're going to get me off this path is kill me. And if you kill me, you'll kill me singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that's called? Integrity. Integrity. What's it take to throw you off? What's it take to get you to turn around? Why don't you get some principles? Man, I'm serious about this. Ladies, I'm sorry if I made you mad. And maybe I was too facetious, but I'm going to tell you, we need men.
Yes, we do.
That'll decide that right's right, wrong's wrong. There's some principles we're standing for. And you know what? Wives, why don't you get behind them and back them when they make some of these decisions? Stop trying to wear them down and turn them backwards. I mean, what are your convictions? Do you have integrity? The integrity of Job. Isn't that something? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn what it means to live principled uprightness. Principled uprightness. Help us to get some things, Lord, settled in our heart and our minds. Help us just get some things settled. God's good no matter what. I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to live for God. The Bible's true. Wrong's wrong. Right's right. Doesn't matter who, where, when. Lord, help us to get principled. Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray.